The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and for the next hour, lots of information that you can use to improve your life, improve your health. A wide range of discussions that are of great importance to all of us. And joining me this morning, I have a very special guest, Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning.
And I just want to start the show about a question that was called in yesterday, and it had to do with a Florida constitutional amendment, the number 2 constitutional amendment on our ballots. So, Dr. Slavin, have you read that constitutional amendment that's on the ballot?
I believe I took a quick look at it.
Okay. I'll read it. We had a caller yesterday here on the show. I had been talking about vote no on number 1, and the caller yesterday wanted to know if there was any information to be discussed on the show with regard to constitutional amendment on the ballot number 2. It is the use of marijuana for debilitating medical conditions. And so this amendment allows medical use of marijuana for individuals with debilitating medical conditions as determined by a licensed Florida physician. And so that's right where I stop, and I'm going to express my opinion with regard to this amendment. And at this point in reading the wording, I would say vote no. Why am I saying vote no? Because it has to be determined by a licensed Florida physician. I think that there might be other ways of determining how appropriate it is for an individual with a debilitating medical condition to be able to access the pain relieving substances associated with marijuana. Dr. Slavin, what do you think?
Well, I think that it's a start. I don't know if you want to vote no because you feel that anybody should be allowed to have access. I think partial access is better than no access.
Okay.
But there's a bigger issue here. Whether it's illegal or not, people are using marijuana. I think that's the overriding issue. And number 2, when compared to alcohol and tobacco, which are far more dangerous to your health than the use of marijuana, there have got to be other issues involved here, because here's you have a product that has been in use for various uses, not just for medical reasons or for recreational reasons, but for industrial reasons. You know, they would use hemp to make rope, for example, for over 7,000 years. It was only made illegal in the beginning of the 1900s, so about 100 years ago they made it illegal. And I'm not still, clear. You know, you read the reasons they do it, and they don't make any sense. Then people speculate as to why they made it illegal. So You know, I'm more of a, you know, a libertarian when it comes to this, and I think people should be allowed to make their own choice.
It's interesting that you're talking about the illegality of it. I went into that in a very basic way yesterday on the show, that there essentially was a political and economic fight with regard to hemp. And the marijuana got mixed in with that discussion, the cotton growers and the hemp growers. And there was a lot of sketchy information being presented, and ultimately the cotton growers won out. Okay, so I'm going to continue reading with regard to the constitutional amendment. It allows caregivers to assist patients' medical use of marijuana. The Department of Health shall register and regulate centers that produce and distribute marijuana for medical purposes and shall issue identification cards to patients and caregivers. Again, I'm going to stop right there, and my opinion is to vote no on this constitutional amendment, because it puts the sale and distribution into the hands of the government. I would say you can tax it like you tax tobacco. You can tax it like you tax alcohol. You can tax it the way that you tax certain junk foods that are real high in sugar. So those are three categories that have potential debilitating effects on an individual's health and well-being, and they are certainly in the private sector. There are public corporations purveying these substances, and this amendment puts the distribution of the medical marijuana into the hands of the government, and consequently, I disagree with it. Dr. Slavin?
Well, let me just say that in this amendment too, the use of marijuana is recommended in the context of cancer, epilepsy, glaucoma, AIDS and HIV, post-traumatic stress disorder, Lou Gehrig's disease, Crohn's disease, Parkinson's disease, and multiple sclerosis. So those are the conditions they're recommending it for. So if you write, if you vote no for it, the people with those conditions will not have legal access to marijuana. So I understand you're standing on principle, but I think you have to consider the people that would benefit by having access to the product.
Okay, you don't believe that they have access to what they need right now?
They might, but it's not legal.
No, okay, so let me keep reading this amendment. It applies only to Florida law. It does not immunize violations of federal law or any non-medical use, possession, or production of marijuana. And the amendment wording goes on to say, increased costs from this amendment to state and local governments cannot be determined. There will be additional regulatory costs and enforcement activities associated with the production, sale, use, and possession of medical marijuana. Fees may offset some of the regulatory costs. Sales tax will most likely apply to purchases, resulting in a substantial increase in state and local government revenues that cannot be determined precisely. Whoa, that kind of opens the door, in my mind, for potential governmental abuse with regard to medical marijuana. The impact on property tax revenues cannot be determined. Dr. Slavin?
Well, the government never does a good job when it gets involved in anything, but it regulates tobacco, it regulates alcohol. And this would just be another substance that it would regulate.
It regulates, but it doesn't necessarily require registration. identity cards and a whole host of approaches. That paper rustling you hear as I have this huge ballot in front of me. So what I want to go back to is the Department of Health shall register and regulate centers that produce and distribute marijuana for medical purposes, shall issue identification cards to patients and caregivers. And my opinion on that is, yes, there's government regulation with regard to tobacco and alcohol. You can't sell it to someone under a certain age. But I think this regulatory approach goes far beyond that. So my bottom line is I would not vote for that constitutional amendment, the amendment to the Florida Constitution. So here's my view. Vote no on one and vote no on two. Dr. Slavin?
All right. So I guess my vote will make your vote, will neutralize each other.
Okay, so we're going to neutralize. Okay. I just want to tell someone that the early voting begins on Monday, October 24th. And on one part of your ballot, you will find the areas listed in your county where you can go for early voting. The other thing that you can do is certainly call the supervisor of elections in your county. So the ballot that I have in front of me is the Palm Beach County ballot, and because I live in Boca Raton, it is the Boca Raton City Library, 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Boca Raton. But there are probably 13, 14 other areas around the entire Palm Beach County, which is a pretty big county, very much spread out, many places where people can go for early voting. Okay, one of the areas that I had talked to Dr. Slavin that we were going to discuss this morning had to do with blood pressure. So what we're going to talk about are perspectives, mental perspectives that people might have with regard to blood pressure, mental perspectives that may or may not be true. So it'll be interesting. We won't have any political talk anymore, and we'll get right to your health issues. But right now, we're going to take a short break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, my special guest today, Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Janet Cimarelli wants to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find a Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction. Stop in and say hello. Get the latest news on EDLP and the great things you will soon find at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon.
You can find out more about the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers at this website, sav-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. See progress of the store coming together. Check in for pre-opening specials. Learn more about EDLP, the unique saving opportunity of everyday low pricing. You want more information? Go to al@savealotnutritioncenters.com. And welcome back. This is the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I am Janet Cimarelli, and we're speaking this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin about an incredibly common problem. And as Dr. Slavin likes to say, just because something is common doesn't necessarily mean it's normal. And what I'm talking about are myths about high blood pressure, and that so many individuals, so many people, let's say over the age of 40, are developing high blood pressure. And we're even beginning to see high blood pressure in teens and possibly even younger. So that this is a serious issue when you take into account the cost of medical care in this country. So, Dr. Slavin, there's, I'm going to go down a myth. I have five myths about high blood pressure, and then what you can do. We can talk about what you can do to address the potential damage that may be coming about because of high blood pressure. The first myth, it's no big deal. I don't feel any different. My energy's good. I don't have headaches. I don't have weakness. Everything seems to be going along okay. And initially with high blood pressure, there aren't any symptoms. You don't feel badly. So why do we consider this a problem? Dr. Slavin?
Well, what we know about high blood pressure, it does lead to damage to your heart and your kidneys. And if left untreated, you know, you're running that risk. The question really then is, well, let me just back up by saying in medical school, they teach the doctors about high blood pressure, and the majority of people with high blood pressure are categorized as essential hypertension. And by that, they mean they don't know why they have it. Just take a drug to control it. And I'm not sure if the teaching has changed at all, but clearly we know a lot more about what causes high blood pressure. Whether or not it's being implemented, it's hard to say. But the one thing you do know, and I think everybody can attest to this, when people lose weight, many times, probably in the majority of instances, their blood pressure goes down. So we can discuss what happens when people lose weight.
Okay, I think that so many people maybe have tried to lose weight, and they find that the recommendation that they get from their practitioner might not necessarily help them reach their weight goals. Do you have any suggestions for people to step by step have them reach their goals?
What we see in people with high blood pressure, and I think it's an equally important marker as one's blood pressure, is your fasting insulin level. And when people have elevated insulin levels, that causes fluid retention, and that adds to, causes an increase in blood pressure. Now, high insulin levels do a lot of other things too, increase inflammation in the body. And that's why I say if you work on lowering your insulin level, you also happen to lose weight, but your blood pressure comes under better control. If you have elevated cholesterol or triglycerides, they're going to get better, because in order to lose weight and lower your insulin levels, by definition, you have to change your diet to avoid foods that tend to raise insulin levels and switch over to foods that don't have that effect. So basically, you're cutting back on the carbohydrates, probably keeping protein around the same, but perhaps increasing your healthy fat intake.
Okay, so a real basic synopsis of what you would be talking to your patients who are talking to you about high blood pressure. They don't necessarily want to take medication, and you see in their blood tests that their fasting insulin level is high, and that fasting insulin level being high can lead to a wide range of ultimately unpleasant symptoms and situations. But initially, people might not necessarily know that their insulin levels are high. They might not necessarily know that their blood pressure is high. So the base of your diet, a range of vegetables cooked and raw, the addition of some animal protein, depending on the person's viewpoint, possibly fish, poultry, beef, and eggs, possibly reducing even dairy intake because of the lactose content in that, that may have, in a sensitive individual, may have an impact on their fasting insulin level. And when you recommend fat, because the fat is going to be so helpful at providing a sensation of satisfaction with your meals. Number one, I can imagine some of your patients saying, fat? Isn't the fat going to make me fat? Won't I stop weight loss when there's fat? And then the other individuals who might say, oh, I could never go without my whole grain bread. Dr. Slavin, what do you think?
Well, a lot of times patients will say, when I tell them to cut back on the carbs, they say, what's left to eat?
Right, right. I hear that a lot.
it's a little bit of training, but what makes it easier, you know, when I have this conversation with patients, I also include a conversation about intermittent fasting, because I think that combination makes it a lot easier. Intermittent fasting really refers to eating within a 6 to 8 hour window every day and giving your body 16 to 18 hours of time to repair itself and get back to baseline, control the blood sugar and the insulin. And it makes it a lot easier also to avoid the carbs. And you don't have to actually cut back on calories. You just consuming food in a more narrow window of time so that your body just has time to work on itself without having to always be digesting food.
Okay, might you recommend that people considering that intermittent fasting use some high-quality digestive enzymes?
I think that for many people, those can be helpful. And the way you find out is you have to try it and see if you notice a difference in your digestion. One of the symptoms of lack of digestive enzymes would be bloating after meals. So digestive enzymes in that circumstance might be helpful. A lot of times I'll recommend digestive enzymes when people tell me they're taking all these nutrients, and when we measure them, they're not showing up. And so that means that they may not be absorbing it right. But probably the biggest cause of interference with digestion is for people who are taking acid blockers in any form, because that's going to disrupt your body's ability to utilize the nutrients you're taking in.
Might elevated insulin be a contributing factor to poor effectiveness in the digestive tract?
I'm not sure. It's an indicator of eating too many carbs. That's true. But I'm not sure I can make a connection between poor digestion and high insulin levels.
And what do you say to the patients after you're introducing the concept of intermittent fasting, eating within a 6 to 8 hour window on a daily basis? And what do you say to the people who say to you, but isn't breakfast? Aren't we told that breakfast is the most important meal of the day?
You know, you have to dispel a few myths. Including the myth about grazing. A lot of people feel they should eat, you know, they've been told to eat every 2 hours to keep your metabolic furnace constantly active so it, you know, burns calories. But The other day, I had a patient who said, when I suggested intermittent fasting, they said, well, you know, I used to do the grazing thing, eat every 2 hours, and I lost a lot of weight. And I said, okay, then give it a try, because you definitely have to lose weight. And it's really, at the end of the day, whatever works for you is the best way to go. But I like the idea of intermittent fasting, because it does allow your body to get back to more physiologic levels of insulin, blood sugar. It lowers inflammatory markers. Really accomplishes a lot that constantly eating or grazing doesn't give the body that opportunity.
I just think it does make very, very good sense when you think about ancient hunter-gatherers, the origins of our species, so to speak. The fact that food was not always available to those individuals, and consequently, they did go numbers of hours between having food available to them. I just want to let everyone know that this is the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour, and it is brought to you by the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. And we are getting ready to have that opening of the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The address is 3105 North State Road 7, also known as 441. It is a half mile south of Sample Road. It's on the west side of the street in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center. So if you're on 441 State Road 7, look for the Spirit Halloween store, and that landmark will point you to behind the Spirit Halloween store in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center is the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. And if you want to go by and take a look at the exciting things that are happening at the Save-A-Lot store, the store is not open, but it will be opening shortly. I'm going to say the end of November, around Thanksgiving, is the target date. And what you can find at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is EDLP, everyday low pricing, so that you can budget your health food shopping. You can budget your shopping for supplements, and every day you will find the lowest prices. And to all of our listeners, stay tuned. I have more myths to come, more discussion with Dr. Herb Slavin, my special guest today. So we'll be right back after these messages. Want to keep up to date on progress at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate? You can visit SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. Do you want to find out even more? Go to info@SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. And tune in every day for the latest updates on special events coming up at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers, and learn more about the low, low prices coming soon at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate.
Concerned about your health and the health of your family? Tune every weekday morning to Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Janet Cimarelli will be available for nutrition counseling sessions at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The store will be opening in November, and she'll keep you updated on the construction progress. Located at 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, in the Penn Dutch Center.
Welcome back to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about the myths regarding high blood pressure. Okay, it is a big deal. In addition to knowing what your blood pressure is, very important to find out what is your fasting insulin level. Myth number two, there's no good treatment. Many people feel there's nothing they can do about their high blood pressure. Dr. Slavin, imagine that a 60-year-old woman comes into your office. Her blood pressure is 140 over 80. What do you suggest to her?
Well, you know, I think by definition, one could categorize her as having a little bit of high blood pressure, but I would, look at her diet and see where we can make some improvements. One of the other areas that need to be addressed is magnesium levels. You might check that and, recommend more. Certainly, 140 over 80, I wouldn't put on medication, though.
Okay, I think that there are many patients out there, and I'm going to say particularly older and petite women, who might at that blood pressure have a suggestion for a blood pressure lowering pharmaceutical. And sometimes it just isn't appropriate, or certainly the dose of that blood pressure lowering drug might be greater than that small female, older might be able to handle. Magnesium, you mentioned that magnesium is a mineral that's going to be associated with relaxation, muscle relaxation, and keeping in mind that your blood vessels are muscle tissue and that the magnesium has the potential to relax that blood vessel muscle tissue. What is a particular form of magnesium that you might suggest, Dr. Slavin, and do you warn people against taking magnesium oxide?
Well, I like to use, I guess, magnesium glycinate is one that's well tolerated. I think magnesium oxide and magnesium carbonate are out there, but those are not the most effective forms of magnesium. And I don't even discuss dosages with patients. I just say whatever, because a lot of patients already have magnesium, but I might say you need to take more. And I would suggest taking it to bowel tolerance rather than getting into just how many milligrams. It gets a little complicated. For example, 1,000 milligrams of magnesium glycinate only gives you 100 milligrams of elemental magnesium. So, rather than getting into all the math on this, I just say, take it to bowel tolerance, which means it may cause a loose stool and drop back on the dosage. Now, there are some people that can't tolerate magnesium, and if I find that they're deficient in magnesium, then we would go to intravenous magnesium, which works very well.
Okay, fabulous. An intravenous magnesium treatment. People dealing with all kinds of issues beyond that blood pressure situation, muscle cramping, muscle tension, that intravenous magnesium treatment sounds like a very, very great way to go. Should one expect that as they age, their blood pressure is going to increase?
Well, we see that it happen often, although I do have a lot of people in the upper ages that don't have high blood pressure. So although, like you mentioned earlier, just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. I think what you also see as people get older is they tend to put on weight. And I think that's the real link between the rise in blood pressure and an increase in weight as opposed to age.
Okay, so certainly that increase in weight, going back to the elevated fasting insulin level, and so much going on with regard to high blood pressure, so much misunderstanding, and that there are a variety of different approaches that people can use to actually address the elevated blood pressure without necessarily having to make the move toward pharmaceuticals that they would be prescribed on a routine basis. Certainly, that you have, the individual has in their hands the ability to prevent that increase, and I'm going to say almost annual increase in blood pressure as people are aging. Dr. Slavin, with your patients and your opinion, how important is stress management with regard to balancing your blood pressure? We understand the fasting insulin, the weight gain, and so on, but what about that whole stress issue?
Well, stress plays a role as well. And it's funny, I have this discussion with patients, and they're aware that stress plays a role, but they seem to be very reluctant to change their way of thinking to reduce the stress. It's like the stress controls them, and they don't control the stress. I mentioned this, and I've said this on the radio before, when I had a 95-year-old patient once, and I asked him, what's the secret to your longevity? And he said he doesn't worry about anything. So I think you have to pay attention. Stress is definitely a major component in disease and a definite factor in why people die is stress.
It certainly is an enormous issue with regard to stress. Now, you have a test that you do with your patients at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, the heart rate variability test. Do you see a correlation with a poor result on that test and a patient that is diagnosed with hypertension?
Yes. I can't say, across the board, but I have seen people with high blood pressure not having as normal a test as you'd like to have. I can talk about one patient in particular, was on medication to lower his blood pressure, but really wasn't controlling it well. You check it one time, it'd be perfectly normal, another time it would be high, another time it would be too low. And we tried, all different approaches, including the other ones I mentioned, diet and magnesium, and nothing seemed to work with him. So finally I suggested he try, let me just back up a little bit. We also test people for various types of infections that they may have been exposed to. And one of the more common ones, I think a lot of people have heard of Epstein-Barr. I would say upwards of 90% of the people are going to have antibodies to that. Cytomegalovirus, another one, very common. And a report was published several years ago that suggested that a common viral infection, namely cytomegalovirus, which affects between 60 and 99% of the adults worldwide, is a cause of high blood pressure. So this adds a whole new dimension into why people develop high blood pressure. If you are suggesting that exposure to various viruses, in this case cytomegalovirus, might be part of the reason. So back to that patient I was talking about when he had high blood pressure, his max pulse or the heart rate variability was abnormal. And then, and we couldn't get his blood pressure under control the way we'd like it. So we decided to do the ultraviolet blood treatment. And after that treatment, it made an unbelievable change in the heart rate variability test. It became extremely normal. And his blood pressure came under much better control, and he felt better and was sleeping better. And that just backs up the possibility that we're overlooking the impact of a lot of viruses that we harbor in our bodies as a cause of some of the conditions that people feel. When we do this treatment on people, a lot of people just say, I just have so much more energy. There is a definite connection between these viruses that we're all exposed to and various illnesses that we're not associating with those viruses.
It's amazing to me. So here we are, we're discussing elevated blood pressure, and we're talking about a diet that has the potential to increase your fasting insulin level. We're talking about weight gain, and both of those issues are very much part of the aging individual. And so let's talk about how we are very well aware that as an individual ages, their immune system is not as efficient as it might have been in their younger years. So there's an immune problem. And to go from there to say they may have a variety of subclinical under the radar infections, both bacterial and viral infections that are taking a toll on not only on their immune system, but because there are the potential for an increasing number of these infections within one body, that it's very possible that that infectious rate is contributing to their high blood pressure, and the ultraviolet blood treatment making a dramatic difference at reducing the presence of infectious agents within a body, actually allowing that person's immune system to overcome the remainder of the bacteria or viruses that have been not able to really overwhelm the person's immune system, but very much a situation where they're undermining the efficiency of that immune function. And then ultimately, inflammation is part of that picture, and then their blood pressure is increasing. We mentioned stress just a few minutes ago and the role that stress plays with regard to blood pressure. The heart rate variability test that you have at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, that is a test that is paid for by insurance. Is that correct, Dr. Slavin?
Yes.
Okay. So heart rate variability test, what does it show you about stress in an individual?
Well, what the test is actually measuring is how your autonomic nervous system is functioning. The autonomic nervous system controls your heart rate, your blood pressure, your breathing, your digestions. All those things are controlled by the autonomic nervous system. And by looking at the your heart rate variability, which is also a reflection of the health of your autonomic nervous system, it can tell you whether, you know, it's healthy or not healthy. It breaks it down into physical stress, mental stress, stress resistance. And that patient I treated for his high blood pressure, he had very high levels of physical stress before the treatment. And after the treatment, that physical stress disappeared. But Janet, you know, speaking of, you were talking about, I think, weight gain a little bit. Viruses have been associated with that, too. Researchers have shown that the adenovirus, common virus, is a cause of upper respiratory tract infections, may be a major cause of obesity. Who's paying attention to these things?
Unfortunately, mainstream medicine tends to walk very wide of that mark. When we come back, what I want to talk about is what your doctor says about preventing high blood pressure and the role of or the range of treatments that are available to control your high blood pressure. You're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I am here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Concerned about your health and the health of your family? Tune every weekday morning to Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Janet Cimarelli will be available for nutrition counseling sessions at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The store will be opening in November, and she'll keep you updated on the construction progress. Located at 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, in the PennDOT Center.
Hi, this is Janet Cimarelli, and I want to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, Florida. 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction. Stop in, say hello, get the latest news on EDLP and the great things you will soon find at Save a Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon. And welcome back to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I am here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and now we have the Save a Lot Nutrition Center founder, Mr. Al Foreman. Good morning, Al.
Well, good morning, Janet, and good morning, Dr. Slavin. I hope you're doing well. I've been listening to the show, and I think you picked some great topics to discuss. I like the issue that you pointed out about the Amendment 2 having to do with the use of marijuana. And I think it's an important topic. And as Dr. Slavin pointed out, there are many people that would not benefit if the amendment didn't pass, but yet there are many people that would be offended if the amendment did pass. So we have two contrasting points of view, as we do with the upcoming election on November 8th. So I guess we will continue to debate the subjects until such time as one or the other is settled. But the subject of high blood pressure, I think, brings up an important topic to most people that either know or heard of somebody or know somebody in their family that may have been in a situation where they have been diagnosed with high blood pressure. And I think the points that you're bringing out about how to solve the blood pressure situation is most encouraging to the people that are listening. And as far as the Save-A-Lot store, Janet, I think you expressed it totally complete, that it's under construction, it's undergoing a change in how we're going to be able to do business with EVLP, everyday low prices, something I believed in for many years, or all the years I've been in retailing. And Dr. Slavin, I'm looking forward to visiting with you on Monday for my monthly chelation treatment. I know I've been neglectful in the vitamin C treatment that I would normally get every Monday, but with the situation here at the store, it's kind of put me behind in my time schedule. There aren't enough hours in the day. But I will see you Monday for my chelation. So I'd like to say to our listeners a hearty welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Whenever you feel like coming around to take a peek, please feel free to do so. And Janet, we'll be listening here in the store.
Sounds like a good plan. Thanks for calling, Al.
A pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Okay. And I think Al's going to keep very, very busy for the rest of the day. There's so much to do. And he has assembled an incredible team. And the work is getting done. And the store is taking shape. So if you want to see the progress, it's amazing what's going on in the store right now. 3105 North State Road 7, a half mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Center. Look for the Spirit Halloween store and turn on 31st Street and then another right turn off 31st into the PennDOT Center. Okay, we're talking about high blood pressure, and here's one of my pet peeves about what do the doctors tell their patients who are dealing with elevated blood pressure. Limit your salt intake. Dr. Slavin, what do you say?
Yeah, they still do that. The thinking behind that is if you consume a lot of salt, you'll retain a lot of fluid, which will make your blood pressure high. I would say, as a rule, and what do we really mean when we say limit salt intake? Who even measures how much salt they're consuming, especially if you're eating packaged food? You don't know how much salt is in there. But I have to say that there is a potential for problems. Eating a salty meal, if you have a history of congestive heart failure, can trigger that problem. So it does cause fluid retention, but I think the bigger cause of fluid retention is high carbohydrate consumption, because that will definitely raise insulin levels and cause fluid retention as well.
And that's my critique when people come to me and say, I'm on a no-salt diet, and they tell me how poorly they feel, that they have no energy, that they're just not functioning the way they know they have the potential to function. And I say that sodium plays a very important role in our metabolic function, and that what you need is a proper balance between sodium and potassium. When you're eating prepared food, you're very likely to get a high amount of sodium in that processed prepared food with virtually no potassium. But if you have lots and lots of vegetables, those are an incredibly beneficial source of potassium and help to balance any sodium intake that you might have. And I have recommendations for different seasonings. When I talk to people, I tell them how to season their food so it's delicious and appealing, and they don't even miss that they are having less sodium intake than they're accustomed to. Okay, one of the things that is also a myth is that treatment is difficult. And Dr. Slavin, I think you address that when you are discussing with our listeners that there are underlying infections that can be treated, and that has a beneficial effect on blood pressure, that there is magnesium to be used, and that is a beneficial approach to overcoming hypertension, that there are so many different approaches. There's one thing that we haven't discussed, and it's exercise. Or there are a lot of things we haven't discussed, but one of the important ones is exercise. What do you have to say to our listeners with regard to exercise?
No, I think regular exercise is important. It's the regularity that's important. You know, weekend exercise is not going to make a difference. You want to get into a daily exercise routine, but you don't have to spend hours doing it. Recent research shows that high-intensity interval training approach to exercise is very effective, and you can accomplish what you need to do in maybe 15 minutes a day. If you want to spend more time, that's fine, but at least give yourself that 15 minutes a day to that form of exercise.
What do you think of that concept, high-intensity interval training?
Well, let's contrast that to what many people do now. They'll go on a treadmill, and they'll say they want to do a half hour or an hour on the treadmill, so they pace themselves. They don't reach a level of high intensity, so they're not really challenging their bodies to maximize performance, as opposed to high intensity means you're going to go all out, and it's been found that you don't have to. You know, nobody can go all out for an hour, even a half hour. You go all out for maybe 5 minutes during that whole workout. Not you know, a minute, then you have a 2 minute rest period, go for another minute all out, and that creates greater accomplishments. Now, as an example, look at how a sprinter looks compared to a marathon runner. I think everybody would agree that the sprinter looks like they're in much better shape. The marathon runner has conditioned their body to, go for, several hours at a constant pace, but they're not into high intensity. They're just into duration. And the high intensity is the important part.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that there are a lot of different personality types that we may be speaking to, a lot of different body types that we may be speaking to, and that you have to find the exercise routine that works for you, works for your schedule, works for your personality. It makes you feel good. You don't necessarily dread your exercise routine. One of the things that I think is a wonderful way to get started for people, it helps to manage stress, and it provides physical movement that actually relaxes your muscles, but steps up the rate of your metabolism, and that's Tai Chi. Excellent, excellent activity. You're going to enhance your metabolic function with Tai Chi, and it isn't stressful. It cuts stress in your life. Some of the suggestions that I make with regard to natural approaches, garlic, hawthorn, fish oil, those are wonderful substances that have been researched and shown over the years to be helpful with regard to managing blood pressure. Dr. Slavin, does it mean ever that when other issues, other approaches haven't worked, that someone must go on a blood pressure lowering medication?
Well, I would say that you do not want to have high blood pressure. I had a patient, I'll tell you what happens. Had a patient could not control his blood pressure with medication. I'm not sure if he was, maybe he wasn't as compliant as he should have been. He definitely didn't pay attention to his diet like he should have, but had difficulties controlling his blood pressure, and ultimately he wound up on dialysis, because it will destroy your kidneys. It will definitely affect your heart and coronary arteries. So there are good reasons you'd want to control the blood pressure, but I always try to look for... I reserve drugs as a last resort unless someone comes in with really high blood pressure that you have to get it down right away. So use drugs to get it under control. But then you look for the underlying reasons why that person has the high blood pressure and try and correct them so they can get off the medicine.
All of the things that we've discussed as alternatives today, addressing underlying infections, exercise, magnesium levels, fasting insulin, all of those things, if you address those things first and you still need medication, most likely the medication is going to work more efficiently. I want to thank Dr. Slavin so much for joining me for the hour. Incredibly good information from you, Dr. Slavin. We all appreciate it. And to our listeners, this has been Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour, and we'll be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP, coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.